Well, greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Wei ni hao. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Guten Tag. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Which can only come with a vegan world. A completely vegetarian society on planet Earth. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. It does become more and more apparent. Peace comes with a vegan world. If we are what we eat, well, look at where the diet of death has taken us in the United States. A plateful of violence. And we don't even recognize the violence as we swallow it. The propaganda behind it as truthful and brainwashing, well, as a George W. Bush speech. We liberate people by bombing them. We pacify with weaponry. We eat Happy Meals. How wonderful that the slaughterhouse liberates animals. The United States is now obsessed with very gruesome images. Some have been released. Some have been withheld. We have been allowed to see pictures of human bodies piled high. Yet, do you picture the piles of bodies around you, the 83 cadavers consumed by the average American annually in the endless war on animals? How did they get to your plate? Well, like the gruesome decapitation in the news this past week, well, you can't see that. You can't see what is called harvesting the animals in George W. Bush-like militaristic mumbo-jumbo. I mentioned a few weeks back that C-SPAN, the only worthwhile network on cable, did a piece where it showed a Japanese delegation visiting Kansas livestock operations to watch the process of meat production from birth to burger, except for when it was time to harvest the animals. That's when the cameras had to be turned off. For some reason, we couldn't see the animals get harvested, pacified, liberated. Why not? Is it possible that if slaughterhouses had glass walls, we would all be vegetarian? We would all go vegan? Innocent victims are decapitated every second of every day. They suffer, like the poor decapitated victim in the news. They bleed, like the poor decapitated victim in the news. And their families are sorrowful. Let's see the video of the innocent victims hoisted and hanging by one leg, whose throats are cut while fully conscious, whose bodies are dismembered while fully conscious, who are skinned alive while fully conscious. Oh, I'm probably making you hungry right now, I realize that, and maybe it's time to head on over to your favorite slashed food restaurant. But please remember, you are what you eat, and maybe, just maybe, our thirst for blood, which of course is a main ingredient in meat and milk, is a cause of the condition of the world today. You are what you eat. You also may be interested in what that someone whom you eat ate on the way to your plate. In the past, we talked about how what goes into the rendering plant, euthanized dogs and cats, and the poisons that killed them that go into animal feed. Well, I saw an article in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. It was April 22nd. The headline was, "Hot Debate Over Chicken Dung. FDA Wrestles With Whether to Ban It and Other Waste from Cattle Feed." Seems that the FDA seems to have stepped in it in its efforts to ban chicken dung and blood and restaurant leftovers in cattle feed. Politically powerful poultry producers protest. They think that you should continue to eat a hamburger from a cow grown on a nutritional diet that includes chicken poop, dead birds, feathers, and spilled feed. Well, you are what you eat. Stephen Sundloff, director of the FDA Center for Veterinary Medicine, stuck up for poop in your food. He said, discussing this, talking about poultry litter, he says that it's good because it really poultry litter is really utilizable in cattle feed because it contains high nitrogen content that cattle can convert it into protein. Cattle are fed urea, a chemical found in urine and synthetically produced because it can be converted to high quality protein. Give them that urine for the... How do you get your protein? Well, from the urine that's in your cattle feed. I hate to think where low-quality protein comes from. he concluded that chicken litter is high in those kinds of nitrogens also, nitrogen compounds, and that's why it's used in cattle feed. Translation, chicken farmers don't know what to do with the stuff, so let's feed it to the cows. Well, that's what goes into animal feed. And I also wanted to mention one more gruesome image that was in the news recently when that beautiful sheep, Shrek, was sheared. We have 60 pounds of wool. Incidentally, by the way, thousands of sheep recently died in Australia of hypothermia as the wet, chilled winds of a storm came in. What's wrong with wool anyway? Perhaps you didn't realize how bad it is. Wool is bad. Well, for example, much of the world's wool does come from Australia and New Zealand, where sheep undergo a gruesome procedure called mulesing, in which farmers use shears to slice dinner plate-size chunks of skin off the backsides of live animals without any pain relief. This hideous practice is done to create a smooth scar that's supposed to resist maggot infestation, but it often gets infected before it heals. Sheep also have their testicles and tails cut off, again, without any painkillers whatsoever. Millions of sheep raised for wool in Australia and New Zealand are slaughtered in the Middle East after enduring a gruesome weeks-long journey. Remember, we talked about that ship of sheep months ago that nobody would take. Those sheep go on journeys that take weeks. They're overcrowded. They have weather extremes where temperatures may exceed 100 degrees. Many sheep fall ill and die when they become stuck in feces and are unable to move. They can't reach their food or water. They're smothered or trampled by other sheep. Sick and injured sheep are often ground up while fully aware. Or they're thrown overboard to drown or be eaten by sharks. When the survivors arrive at their destination, they are abused in ways that would warrant cruelty charges in Australia and New Zealand or the United States. They are tied by all four legs and shoved into the backs of trucks. Later, they have their throats slit while fully conscious. So if you want to know more about the condition of sheep and why wool is bad, go to woolisbad.com. That's woolisbaad.com. Woolisbad.com. So, let's end the war already, huh? Let's end the war against humans and non-human animals alike. No matter how profitable, it seems we all lose in the end. And I don't just say it because...
I know, you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
No, I say it because, even Einstein, the master blaster of all wars, said the greatest hope for survival of all life on Earth is our evolution to a vegetarian diet. I'm not really sure if there's time for evolution now. It's time for a revolution. It's time for you to start eating for peace. Later this hour, by the way, we will talk to the founder of Eating for Peace, Philip Crawford, who has created a 21-day veg-a-thon to encourage you to break your addiction to that diet of death, which could save your life and the lives of your children and the planet. It can also help the children who are ravaged, the human children ravaged by war right now. So we'll talk to Philip Crawford later in the hour on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Also, we'll talk about the Liberation Weekend, a big event actually that happened yesterday with some of the hardcore activists. We'll be talking to one of the organizers, Jerry Friedman. Well, he's not necessarily one of those hardcore activists, but he is involved with animal liberation issues and freedom of speech issues. But I expect to hear from Rod Coronado, who was active with the Animal Liberation Front, and you'll hear his position on liberation. And later in the hour, details on a big peace march coming up. I really didn't finish the thoughts related to the Bush regime's onslaught against organic. So That'll come up later in the hour. And keep listening. And I need your financial support, so please consider a tax-deductible donation that you make out to Go Vegan and mail to P.O. Box 220025, Newhall, California, 91322. Because there is nothing like Go Vegan with Bob Linden in the general media. If you need to contact me, you can call 818-623-6477. 818-623-6477, or email govegan@acninc.net. govegan at, well, the letters that form Apple Cherry Nut Incorporated, govegan@acninc.net. And if you missed any of this information, check it out at the website, which is goveganradio.com. Vegetarian tradition in the LA area. It's Follow Your Heart Market and Cafe in Canoga Park. Enjoy daily specials and your favorite foods, vegan style, pizza, burgers, Mexican, delectable desserts, organic salads, organic coffee, and soups. They wrote the book, literally, the Follow Your Heart Soup Cookbook. One visit and you'll be a regular. Follow Your Heart, 21825 Sherman Way, a block and a half east of Topanga Canyon Boulevard. They also make Veganaise, the delicious vegan mayo alternative, at natural food stores everywhere. In Defense of Animals invites you to join the new way of thinking about our relationship with the animal companions in our lives. It's guardian, not owner. ASPCA President Edwin J. Sayers says, the term guardian accurately describes the relationship of perpetual care that is needed to teach children respect, compassion, and kindness for domestic pets. Studies show that children who learn compassion and respect for animals have a better chance at becoming compassionate adults, responsible community members, and are less likely to behave violently toward others. End quote. So it's guardian, not owner. It's rescue and adoption from shelters, not selling and buying from breeders and pet stores. Don't buy while thousands die. Be a good guardian. And visit the website of In Defense of Animals, IDAUSA.org.
Oh, no, now you're going to give it to people. Animal burgers.
But not at Etopia Express. Etopia Express expresses its healthy, compassionate mission statement with a 100% vegan fast food menu featuring over a dozen varieties of wraps, You've got spectacular shakes, cholesterol-free shakes made with organic soy milk, organic vegan ice cream, 7 smoothies from which to choose made with fresh frozen fruit, ripe bananas, apple juice, or agave nectar as a sweetener. What a great sweetener that is, too. And by the way, maybe you've never realized that refined sugar is often filtered through cow bones, so may not be vegan, after all, having that refined sugar. But nah, you don't find that at Etopia Express in Ocean Beach, 5001 Newport Avenue, 619-224-3237. Soups, what you do find are soups and salads, raw items, desserts. You'll love the wraps there. Go check it out. Etopia Express, 5001 Newport Avenue in Ocean Beach, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day. That is the truth. The planet's first and only commercial vegan radio show. Well, a totally fascinating forum on animal and earth liberation is happening this weekend, happened yesterday at the University of West Los Angeles School of Law. Fascinating discussion. And we have one of the organizers on the line, and that is Jerry Friedman. Jerry, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good to have you on the show again. You were with us a while back.
It's been some time.
It has been some time, but I see you regularly when I have legal problems. You you graduating law student, graduating right about now, huh?
Yeah, I'll be graduating June 12th. So that'll be my ceremony.
Ah, well, congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a long road.
I will need a good lawyer based on my arrest protesting the circus at Arrowhead Pond and the rodeo in the city of Industry, which violated our constitutional rights. So hurry up and pass the bar, would you?
Yeah, well, when you need a good lawyer, I'll help you find one. How's that?
Well, okay. I'm planning on you, Jerry, being that good lawyer. So what motivated you to go to law school?
I was actually arrested a few times myself in animal rights protests at a dolphin captivity protest in Knott's Berry Farm and some fur protests and a few other times. And so many times, I only found out after the fact that rights were violated because I've been ignorant of the differences in the law. There are so many subtleties, and so I would trust the system. I would trust a public defender to take care of me, and then I found out after the fact that I wasn't taken care of, and so I decided rather than rely on a public defender, and I don't mean to speak poorly of public defenders, but rather than
I had 2 public defenders who actually, you know, got me off both times.
See, so there you go, and I wasn't, well, I mean, we didn't have the same arrests, but I wasn't that fortunate, but rather than rely on them, I wanted to learn the law itself. I mean, I believe that if you look inside the heart of our nation, we have the court system. It really is the mechanism. The famous rule of law, it's the mechanism that we live our lives by. Everything we do, we're subject to so many different laws, and so for me to understand those laws and how the nation thinks, I thought was my best contribution to the animal rights movement.
Well, we certainly need lawyers in the animal rights movement. I was shocked when I was arrested. I had never been arrested before, and my first arrest was a few years ago at the L.A. Sports Arena.
I remember that.
Yeah, well, you know, the megaphone can be a magnet for trouble.
Tackle the guy with the megaphone. He's the leader.
Right. So I was shocked that I was struck by the police. And, you know, I guess because I was struck by them, they thought, well, we better arrest this guy. So, but what was more shocking to me was the course of the trial where the prosecutor tried to actually hide the code from the jury because first they arrested me for amplified sound. They changed it to trespassing. And then it turns out in the code, Section C, 6021C, says doesn't apply to those engaged in constitutionally protected activities, which was my defense. And the prosecution, not really going for justice here, but going for a win, attempted every way possible to hide the code from the jury that would exonerate me. So that was shocking.
That is both shocking, and that's why I'm going into law. I hear these shocking stories all the time. I'm becoming more and more familiar with some very old cases, such as Leonard Peltier, who the prosecution, he's been in jail now for 27 years, and the prosecution admits to this day they don't know who killed these two FBI agents, but Leonard Peltier is in jail right now serving time for it. So there are these very old arrests, and there's new arrests every time, just like you a couple of years ago. A friend of mine, Julie Meskel, was arrested at the City of Industry Rodeo.
She was a guest. She was a guest on last week's show. Yeah,
for no good reason, and this is just what I see. So again, I like to argue. I like logic. I like chess. I program databases, which is very logical. And I figured, why not try my hand at law?
Right. And you observed another arrest of mine where I thought I was just minding my own business, speaking out on behalf of animals abused in the circus, which happened at Arrowhead Pond. And what we discovered there is that I needed to get written permission in advance from Ringling Brothers to protest against them.
Yeah, the Arrowhead Pond let the people who rent the facility hand out the permits for amplified sound. So exactly, if you wanted to use an amplified device against Ringling Brothers, you'd have to get their permission first.
Okay, well, I still plan on taking legal action to strike that law down as unconstitutional in Anaheim.
Yeah, that Anaheim has a specific law against amplified sound, which is probably unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about Liberation Weekend happening yesterday and how that came about.
Well, Liberation Weekend is wonderful. It came about that, there is a minority opinion in the animal rights and environmental movement. And that minority opinion is that the way to make the world better for the environment, the way to save the world, is not through the system, is not through the courts, but it's by taking literally direct action. There is a rich tradition of direct action throughout the history of the United States. You can go back to the Boston Tea Party, where the Sons of Liberty dressed up as Indians, and they were the ones who started dumping tea over into Boston Harbor.
There must be a code against caffeinating the harbor, though.
Well, I would bet you could probably find a code like that somewhere.
No caffeine in our harbor, sorry.
You have John Brown, who took over a federal armory to give guns to slaves. There's Harriet Tubman, who ran the Underground Railroad. And these are all people of conscience who have disagreed with the system and have taken direct action in order to make the world a better place. And so this Liberation Weekend yesterday, this was just a gathering of people who say the system is not working, it's going to take too long, if ever, that we can protect our world. One of the organizers, Melissa Rodriguez, she asked me, what can I do as a future lawyer to protect the leatherback sea turtle? The leatherback sea turtle is slated for extinction within 5 years at the current rate that the animal is dying. And really, there might be some things that can be done legally, there might be, but it's so difficult sometimes to get the justice that we want through the court system, so that sometimes we have to act outside of the court system and not write to legislators. I mean, we should still write to legislators, but and not rely on the system to protect things for us, but we have to take things into our own hands.
Mm-hmm. Is that phone ringing? Is that one of the other Liberation Weekend people calling in? I don't know if we have, was Rod Coronado calling in?
Rod Coronado and or Leslie Pickering are supposed to call. I don't know if they got word. I mean, they might be traveling back to their homes by now.
I see another phone line ringing there, so let me check. We'll check with Leo to see who's calling in. Oh, is it the FBI calling in?
Maybe.
They had to pay extra to get in yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they were there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Is that one of our Liberation Weekend guests? Leo? Yes? Well, we can put him or her on the line and figure out who's calling in. Oh, you know, it's a... Hi, and which liberationist is this calling in? Hello?
Bob, this is Philip Crawford from Meeting for Peace.
Ah, okay. Philip, you're on in the second half of the show. What are you doing here? So
I don't know. Your guy just put me through.
So. Oh, okay. Well, we were waiting for a call from Rod Coronado or another one of the activists from yesterday. So go back on hold, Philip. Take a nap, and we will talk to you about Eating for Peace in just a little bit.
Okay. I'll stay on hold then.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Okay, thanks. Okay. So I guess we're not hearing from Rod. And Rod was a famous animal liberation person. And in fact... He's associated, was arrested for destroying a research lab, actually. He's a Pasqua Yaqui Nation activist, but also has been involved with what's been characterized by this particular terrorist government. Well, I guess they know a terrorist when they see one, and they call the Animal Liberation Front terrorists. What do you think about that, Jerry Friedman?
I think it's, well, personally, deeply, I think that's amazing. I think it's amazing that the Animal Liberation Front and the Earth Liberation Front combined have never hurt any person or animal in the United States ever, and yet, supposedly, they are the number one domestic terrorist concern of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I'm shocked that we have recently suffered so many other, like American militia groups who have caused untold misery, and yet they're not number one. So it's really it's one of the reasons for this Liberation Weekend. It shows that the animal liberation and earth liberation people, the people who support these views, are being very effective in causing a lot of financial, a lot of economic harm to these corporations which are raiding our planet, and the FBI is working as their strong arm in trying to harass goodly activists to give up, just to pressure them to stop fighting for the animals and fighting for the environment.
But people accuse the ALF, or Animal Liberation Front, of being violent.
Yeah, I've never heard of anything of the sort in this hemisphere. I've never heard of anything of the sort.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Rod himself and another past guest on the show was an ALF spokesperson, David Barbaresh, yeah. And they both are dedicated to nonviolence, they say, but they do take direct action against the instruments of oppression. And some people think maybe destroying, you know, a fur farm or animal research lab is violence.
Well, and that was why Rod is such a spectacular choice, and I'm so happy that he was able to participate, is that he really lives the life of his values. And for him to have helped burn down this experimental mink ranch up in, I believe it was Minnesota, with no injuries,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, this was an action against the economics of the fur industry. He also helped sink an illegal whaling fleet of Iceland back in the 80s, which humiliated Iceland when it was discovered. They were hesitant to even report that it happened because they weren't supposed to have this whaling fleet, and then the whaling fleet was sunk, and this was done in part because of Rod Coronado. So I don't know how to, like, persuade the random listener that this is not violence. The way that I look at it is that if there's a child in a car and the car is heating up, or if there's a dog in a car and the car is heating up, I'll smash the window. That's not violence to destroy property for saving somebody's life. And in the same way that if there was a man beating a woman up with a baseball bat, or any person beating any person up with a baseball bat, and if I destroy that baseball bat, people might say I'm being violent against the baseball bat. But if you look at what the baseball bat is doing, that is the violence, and that's what the attention should be directed on. Destroying the rules of oppression, in my opinion, is not violence.
Mm-hmm. Well, consider the Nazis in World War II as they put Jews into ovens. Would it be violent if the ovens were dismantled?
Yeah, that's the same idea. I've even thought about if I had stumbled into an animal laboratory, an animal research laboratory, and I saw my dogs hooked up to all these devices, I would go berserk. And for anybody to say that was an act of violence against the laboratory, I don't even know. I don't even know how to respond to that. I just think that's absurd. It is absurd, and it really takes the focus away from what the issue is. And that, in fact, is why these consumer corporations, why they focus on that. They say that the act of destroying the baseball bat is violence to divert our attention from the violence that they're committing against life.
Mm. And people should realize, when you say if you saw your dog in a research lab, that the dogs who do wind up in research labs are often stolen. And I invite people to go to lcanimal.org to see a big bust, the biggest bust in history, of a minister in Arkansas who was running the biggest pet theft ring ever. So fortunately, he's been arrested. And up in Sacramento County, if you lose your dog, you know, if your dog runs away or whatever, can wind up in a shelter, and the shelters are selling the dogs to to research labs in Sacramento County.
Yeah, that happens all the time. And actually, I only said my dogs. I could imagine that I could go undercover into a research laboratory and I would see dogs who I don't have a relationship with. And as brutal as a situation that is, I would do my job as an undercover researcher. But if my dogs were there, I would go berserk.
Mm-hmm. And also participating in Liberation Weekend was Kevin Jonas from Shack USA, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty. And what about their tactics and actions?
Shack USA was born from Shack UK, United Kingdom. And they've been implementing a strategy that's new to me. And instead of just going after the company directly, and protesting them, and writing letters, and doing everything they can to make them stop the horrible things that were discovered that they were doing. They had 5 undercover videotapes showing medical researchers punching beagles in the face because they didn't want to have plastic tubes stuck down their throat, and they're dissecting monkeys that are fully conscious. You know, their heads are moving around, and their eyes are open, and here they are cutting their chests open, cutting through their rib cage. So almost the trademark tactic that Shack has been doing is not only going against the company directly, but all other companies that do business with that company. So that includes the companies that pick up the trash, the companies that pick up the laundry, the companies that trade their stocks. They protest every corporation that does any business with this terrible, terrible company called Huntington Life Sciences. And the effect of that has been to bring this terrible corporation on its knees. It's been close to bankruptcy a few years ago, and they were saved out of bankruptcy, and they're teetering toward that direction again. So that was that's the marvel of the Shack campaign, is this new tactic that hasn't been used in the animal rights movement to open our minds and to say, you know, these are all legal things you can do. They're very frontline, very, very in your face, and they're very effective. And if people who really believe that animals need to come out of those animal laboratories, then we need to start thinking, as they say, outside of the box. We can't use the same old strategies time and time again. They're just not working. They're taking too long.
Mm. And Huntington Life Sciences in New Jersey kills 500 animals a day.
That's the statistic that I remember right. 500 animals a day in toxicity tests and dying by poison or by vivisection, by being dissected. That's
and it's not even medical research, which is fraudulent in itself. This is a consumer product, so you can find agricultural products or the latest sweetener or whatever it
pesticides
is.
Pesticides and cleaners and so on. It's just consumers. They're just largely ignorant of what's going on. It's all encapsulated. It's all encapsulated with the war on Iraq that Americans just don't want to really think about what's going on, and these toxicity tests. People don't want to think about what's really going on. As a nation, we've lost our spirit. We've lost our passion. Our role models are people who drive big cars or people who shoot hoops, but our role models are not people who do good in the world.
Mm. And people don't want to think. They don't even want to think about what's on the bun that they're shoving in their face.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss. Oh, I wish I were ignorant. Yeah. Okay, well, we're just about out of time, so if you have any closing thoughts for us, Jerry Friedman, my future attorney in all my animal endeavors.
Oh, here's my moment for something profound, and all I can tell your listeners is that if you want change in the world, if you want change in your community, the change is you. It's really up to you to get this done. I put myself through law school, worked full-time because I want a better world. And I hope that I can help inspire other people to change their life slightly or dramatically and work for peace.
Well, do that by keeping me out of jail, Jerry.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks for being on the show. Thanks for Liberation Weekend.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. All right, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Looking for music, I think. A little musical interlude here. Oh, by the way, you can support the airing of Go Vegan with Bob Linden without any extra out-of-pocket expense. You know, you're already paying monthly bills for local and long-distance telephone and gas and electric and internet. And you can switch over your services by contacting Project ACN. where the ACN stands for Animals, Children, Nature, and a portion of your bills will go toward supporting the show, helping homeless animals and other causes that concern you. Plus, you'll enjoy very competitive rates. Please call 310-985-HELP. 310-985-4357. And please help. 310-985-HELP. And, my friend VJ, I'm carpooling here today. You know, I'm not one of those rich animal activists myself, because any money that I get my hands on goes to pay for the time on the radio stations, to overnight the show here and there, for postage and all. And so thanks, VJ, for the lift today.
Yeah, I just happened to be driving on the 405 and saw you hitching on the wall over there.
VJ is a compadre. We've often protested against injustices together, and thanks for the ride today. And
no problem. I just want to let everybody know that to all the listeners out there, remember that for the Go Vegan Radio Show to air every week, it does take donations, you know, financial support. To all those who have financially supported Go Vegan Radio broadcasts in the past, thank you so much. It does help. And for those of you thinking that it doesn't do any good to donate even a small amount, it really does help. Let me give you an example. If all listeners send just $10 to keep this educational, compassionate, and life-changing show on the air, it could run smoothly, uninterrupted, and consistently. But consistency is important. For example, if I incorporate a specific amount every month in my budget, which I do, actually, and Bob, you already know that I do that.
Thank you, VJ.
Just as I would do with, you know, gas, groceries, rent, and all of my other bills, so that this message that is so vital to all of humanity, the animals, and our planet stays on the air, you know, then I do so, and I do that every month consistently. And my background...
People don't realize, just if everybody listening sent $10 right now, we'd be able to cover the costs. You know?
Right, and I mean, $10 individually is nothing. Collectively, it means everything to the, you know, the vital importance of keeping the show functional. And, you know, my background, I've been raised in a meat-eating family. My father used to hunt and kill deer and all manner of animals. We used to fish off the Oregon coast in the summers, you know, for our livelihood. And with that said, I can't imagine not listening to your show, Bob, every Sunday. There's never been a show like this, everybody out there listening, for the interested vegetarians, vegans, and countless non-vegetarians that are in need of this knowledge. I've been eating a vegetarian diet more than 8 years now, and actually over four and a half years as a vegan. And you know, this is a grassroots show, but it can be more widely heard. And currently with Go Vegan, you know, with Bob Lennon, can be heard in Los Angeles and San Diego. The show was in 9 cities before, I remember, Bob, but with the lack of support, of course, it dwindled down to these 2 cities right now, and it's not even broadcast live anymore on the internet. So at this time, Bob has the opportunity to regain being broadcast up in San Francisco and Seattle, which will include the live broadcast back on the internet again. So, you know, I'm just saying, come on, people, this is so important. We are making history together. In addition, it's tax deductible, and it keeps freedom of speech alive in our still free country. So let's get this most important message out, and please donate now to give Go Vegan Radio, keep it on the radio. And thanks to all of you in keeping the show alive. And in a moment, Bob, you can give your donation information again. I just want to say peace to everyone listening, to those of you changing and evolving to a selfless, nonviolent way of feeding and nourishing your body. You should be able to sleep a better person knowing you're truly making a difference on many levels in the world. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you, VJ. That was quite beautiful.
Thank you.
So, I appreciate the support. If you can make out a check to Go Vegan, you mail it to P.O. Box 220025, Newhall, California, 91322. That's Go Vegan, P.O. Box 220025. Newhall, California, 91322. Also, please support the advertisers on this show, vegan and cruelty-free products, and they make it possible, too.
One thing really fast. Can they go to your website to get the donation information as well?
Yes, that information's there. GoVeganRadio.com.
Great.
Okay. By the way, the Baja Animal Sanctuary's second annual Perro de Mayo fundraiser is today. Today is Sunday, May 16th, if you know, the mimosas have set in. You haven't looked at your watch. It starts at 2 p.m. at the Skyline Spur Ranch, 18175 Skyline Truck Drive in Jamul, with a country-western theme. You can check out the website, bajadogs.com. for information, the Baja Animal Sanctuary, it's the only no-kill center in northern Mexico. It's in Rosarito Beach, Mexico, 25 miles south of the border. It's moving. It needs donations, too, which are tax-deductible. The Baja Animal Sanctuary also conducts weekly adoptions in San Diego County. So for locations and how you can help, the website is bajadogs.com, BAJADogs.com, and the email is bajadogs@AOL.com. I want you to know that there are KFC protests each and every Saturday in North Hollywood at 5502 Laurel Canyon, a block north of Victory, at the scene of the crime, the Kentucky Fried Chicken. And that's every Saturday, 11 a.m. to 12:30 in the afternoon. The next major peace rally to end the war in Iraq is Saturday, June 5th in Los Angeles, assembling at 12 noon, Olympic and Broadway, and marching to the downtown Federal Building. Walk the walk, talk the talk, live the life of peace, go vegan. This Thursday and every Thursday, you and your friends and your family are invited to Club Divinity, a joyful evening of music, food, word, and thought that you're sure to find healing to mind, body, and soul. And that happens at the Upside Down Club, 1600 North Argyle at Selma in Hollywood, $25 per person. The RSVP number, 323-960-7900. Two shows, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Let's see what else we have here. If you yourself have ever wanted to get involved in the cause to stop animal suffering but didn't know where to start, or you felt alone in your sympathy for animals, I have a great gathering for you to attend. Even if you're an experienced activist, you'll want to come to Helping Animals 101, a two-day PETA workshop, June 26th and 27th at Venice Beach High School in Los Angeles. You'll be so motivated by the amazingly inspirational people from PETA, including Ingrid Newkirk, a modern-day saint herself. She'll be speaking there. Bruce Friedrich will be speaking there, in charge of the vegan campaign at PETA. You definitely want to do it, so definitely check out the website, helpinganimals101.com, to register. Helpinganimals101.com to register for that. Okay, I do believe it's time for Animal News and Views on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And let me see here. Oh, it must be in this folder here. Oh, I do want to thank Animal News and Views, sponsored by Last Chance for Animals, LCA San Diego. And let me see here. What am I looking for? I should be organized here, but I'm not. Anyway, also check out LCA San Diego, which is at All Vegan, the new boutique down there, LCA San Diego. And All Vegan is at 4669 Park at Adams. And go into the back there. There are videos and flyers and all sorts of material to educate yourself on animal issues. And while you're there, pick up some chocolate, or maybe you haven't bought a belt since high school or something, because they're all leather and you don't want to buy leather. The shoes are great. It's just wonderful clothing and wallets and accessories. Say hi to Joy and volunteer. LCA San Diego has its presence felt often at various festivals and street fairs, and you can be a part of that. So please volunteer for that. I needed to mention from the Organic Consumers Association, the action alert, the Bush administration moving to allow corporate takeover of organics. On April 14th, the Bush USDA announced its national organic program would no longer monitor or police organic labels on non-agricultural products, which include fish, body care, your family animal foods, clothing, fertilizer. But since all corporations, we know that all corporations all the time have proven to be honest and trustworthy, well, will your dog's organic food really be organic? The Organic Consumer Association complains that the marketplace is being flooded with industrial farm-grown seafood bearing the organic label, and that the organic label is already watered down by some shampoos claiming to be organic based upon added water. The stuff almost sounds humorous compared to when the corporate Bushtapo marches through anything it well pleases, apparently. And, now that Saddam is in detention, it's time to target organics, apparently, for George W. Bush. And So what are we attacking with organic standards? Well, preparation is underway for a restructuring of organic to allow for the use of pesticides, antibiotics, growth hormones, non-organic feed, and genetically engineered animal drugs. On April 28th, the USDA Organic Program announced controversial new directives and guidance statements. This is payback for the former pesticide salesman and Congressmember Tom DeLay. Organic crops raised with pesticides. Yes, organic crops raised with pesticides. The USDA says that if the farmer and the organic certifier don't know the ingredients in pesticides used, the crops can still be labeled organic. Pesticides also do not have to list all their ingredients. So can the extremist regime be any madder? Of course it can. Organic dairy cows will be allowed to be injected with antibiotics or synthetic growth hormones. In fact, those so-called organic cows could get a dose of any kind of drug at any time, just hold off on marketing her milk a year after treatment. The Organic Consumer Association also says so-called organic cows go into factory farm confinement. One other thing, the new healthy way to get your minimum daily requirement of toxic mercury, PCBs, and synthetic chemicals, well, get them from your organic beef, as if there were such a thing. The USDA live feed statement for so-called organic cows: let them eat non-organic fish meal frequently containing mercury, PCBs, synthetic chemicals. The mercury and the PCBs accumulate in the animal fat and are, well, that's what's for dinner. What's for dinner? It's PCBs and mercury. To read all about it, go to the website of the Organic Consumers Association, where you can take action. That's organicconsumers.org, organicconsumers.org. Some good news on the genetic mutant front. After years of pressure from grassroots organizations, including the Millions Against Monsanto campaign, Monsanto is giving up on giving us Roundup Ready genetically engineered wheat. Well, that's neat, but not neat is that Monsanto's and Scott Company's plans for genetically mutated grass for golf courses, and even the United States government is fearful of Roundup Ready grass, with the Bureau of Land Management and Forest Service expressing concerns about pesticide-resistant weeds. Well, how now, Mad Cow? A May 6th New York Times article under the headline, Pressure Mounts for Federal Inquiry into Possible Mad Cow in Texas. Well, not that George W. Bush's behavior isn't sign of Mad Cow existence already in Texas, but consumer groups are calling for a congressional investigation into the death of a cow showing symptoms of brain damage. About a week ago, at a Texas slaughterhouse, a cow in San Angelo at Lone Star Beef was staggering and collapsed, and under federal regulations should have been tested for Mad Cow, BSE. And in fact, a federal inspector had started to take a brain sample, but was abruptly ordered to stop by the Agriculture Department's regional office in Austin. The animal was murdered and rendered into animal food and byproducts. The Ag Department admitted that not taking a sample and testing was a mistake, and that it would investigate itself. The Times article reported that on numerous occasions, regional offices of the USDA have directed inspectors not to test cows showing brain damage symptoms. Lone Star Beef of San Angelo specializes in murdering older dairy cows, which are at the highest risk of mad cow disease. In 2002 and 2003, Lone Star Beef processed 350,000 cows and tested only three for mad cow disease. Lone Star Beef is a major supplier of murder victims to McDonald's. So it's a McMad World. Let's see, how am I doing on time here? Another minute or two. Okay, from United Press International, USDA accused of faking forms. The USDA officials pressure their veterinarians to sign documents that falsely certify that food items are safe for export. Which has been going on for years. And the April 28th San Francisco Chronicle reports that the U.S. Commerce Department has been aware for 5 years that government observers on Mexican tuna fishing boats were regularly taking $10,000 bribes to falsify reports to say that they were not netting dolphins when they were netting dolphins. Despite knowledge of these allegations, the George W. Bush regime still relaxed restrictions in 2002 on foreign-caught tuna. Let's see here. Let's see. Let me just go through here. I could go on for hours here, but let me just talk about this need right here now, and then we'll go to spots, and we've got to talk to Philip Crawford about Eating for Peace. A recent raid on a property up Interstate 5 in the Pyramid Lake Gorman area exposed a horrendous situation for about 160 live dogs, including 50 puppies, numerous cats, and several farm animals. There were dead animals everywhere, no food, no water, no shelter, no electricity. The dogs, cats, and farm animals are in dire need of rescue, adoption, and fostering. Animals will be released free of charge to bona fide 501c3 rescue groups. Some animals became available for adoption as of Friday. So go to the website, go to GormanRescue.com, GormanRescue.com. A past guest on this show, Sherry Azell of the Maple Farm Sanctuary in Mendon, Massachusetts, contacted me this week with a plea for help for veterinary bills. A llama is injured, and the guard dog who lives with the goats and protects them from coyotes is sick. So you can contact her, contact Sherry. Her email address is sparrowhawklady@aol.com. That's sparrowhawklady@aol.com. Okay, we better go to a break, I think, and go vegan with Bob Linden. Please help out with your donation. You're not going to hear about any of this anywhere else in the establishment media. So I appreciate your support. Send your check, which is probably, you know, you forgot to mail it last week, still on the kitchen counter. P.O. Box 220025, Newhall, California, made out to Go Vegan. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm always talking about how delicious Veggianese is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veggianese. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veggianese? Or a tofu burger with Veggianese? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veggianese in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veggianese in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Weber's MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veggianese, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. Another sunny day in Southern California, and you've got the power. You've got the power to go solar, ready to make things brighter for the environment, reduce fossil fuel usage and emissions, and global warming greenhouse gases. It's time for your home and business to go solar with Sunergy Solar. Visit SunergySolar.com, S-U-N-E-R-G-Y, SunergySolar.com. Hurry, save big. The 45% rebate program is about to end, and you can be protecting yourself from future utility rate hikes. You can be owning your own power instead of renting it. You know, financing your system can be cheaper than your current utility bill, and you'll be making a contribution to the community. After all, you've had your house for a while, and it's appreciated enormously, so we would appreciate if you would go solar. Get details at 866-SUNERGY, 866-S-U-N-E-R-G-Y, which is 866-786-3749. It's a brighter day for everyone when your home and business are solar powered. Contact Sunergy Solar at SunergySolar.com. Your authorized Sharp dealer, wherever you are in Southern California, including all of LA and San Diego areas.
Meat eaters destroy the earth.
That is for sure. From Millennium Products, the family business that began bottling kombucha in 1995 after it helped their mom survive breast cancer, an invitation for you to enjoy the healing, healthful, detoxifying benefits of kombucha in a variety of flavorful, organic, raw, vegan beverages. This handcrafted, cultured Chinese elixir brings you essential nutrients like active enzymes, amino acids, antioxidants, vitamins, and especially attractive to vegans often frustrated by the presence of dairy and probiotics products. 2 billion non-dairy plant-based viable probiotics known to strengthen the immune system, stimulate metabolism, detox, and alkalize, as we learn more about the ill effects of an acidic body. Read all about it right on the label on GT's Kombucha and Synergy Elixirs in the fridge at your natural market, or check out the website, naturezone.net. Organic, vegan, raw, refreshing, no sugar, corn syrup, caffeine, never pasteurized. Tasty and tangy. Look for GT's Kombucha, three flavors, and Synergy, 95% kombucha with a twist, including ginger, cranberry, strawberry, mango, guava, grape. That is kombucha. Also, I want to tell you about a great restaurant in the San Diego area in Chula Vista. You've heard about the hottest trend in healthy lifestyle eating. It is going raw, huh? And now you can experience it at Cilantro Live, San Diego County's first organic, vegan, 100% raw restaurant. 315 and a half 3rd Avenue in Chula Vista. The website is cilantrolive.com, C-I-L-A-N-T-R-O-L-I-V-E, cilantrolive.com. There you will see the expansive, exotic menu from live soups to live desserts, awesome appetizers and salads and wraps and entrees and drinks and smoothies and specials. Just how delicious and nutritious can raw, exotic, vegan cuisine be? Find out for yourself at Cilantro Live, 315 and a half 3rd Avenue, Chula Vista, Cilantro Live. Okay. Yes, it is Go Vegan for Bob Linden, where we certainly encourage eating for peace. And we have on the line with us today, Philip Crawford, who has initiated Eating for Peace. Philip, how are you?
Bob, I'm great. How are you?
Terrific, terrific. So tell us about Eating for Peace. How did this get started? We have probably 3-4 minutes here, so...
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll get right to the point. Eating for Peace is a veg-a-thon, and in a veg-a-thon, people give up eating meat for 21 days, and they get sponsors while they're doing it, just like if they were doing a walk-a-thon, and the money will go for children in Iraq and Afghanistan and other countries where there are currently wars taking place. So if you are not already a vegetarian, this is a great way for you to find out about the benefits of being a vegetarian. And once you register for Veg-a-thon, we will provide you with a vegetarian starter kit, which is lots of information about the vegetarian diet, some vegetarian recipes. We'll give you discount coupons for vegetarian products. And like I said, all the money you raise in sponsored pledges will go for children in war-torn countries around the world. If you're already a vegetarian, this is a great way to introduce your meat-eating friends to vegetarianism. So I encourage people to go to the website, eatingforpeace.org, and find out all about it and register today.
Eatingforpeace.org. And when is that 21-day period when everyone gives up that that horrid habit?
It is June 1st through June 21st, so it's coming up soon. 3 weeks, many people say, is the time necessary to break a habit, and I consider meat eating to be a pretty bad habit. So.
Right, and that time period includes Vegan World Day, which is the first day of summer when we encourage all people to live the life of a vegan, live the day in the shoes of a vegan, which, of course, would mean non-leather, and it's the day of most light, most hope. And why do you call it Eating for Peace?
Why do I call it Eating for Peace?
Yeah.
Well, because the money that is being raised is going to help children that are being affected by war, and I initially started this for the reasons to help promote vegetarianism, but also because I was very concerned about the wars that are going on, war in Iraq, which everyone is well aware of, and the war in Afghanistan, which is still going on, and the fact is that there are about 20 wars currently going on around the planet. And unfortunately, innocent civilians, including mostly children, are being killed in these wars.
Right. And wars start, there are conflicts over resources, over water, over food, over oil, and the meat-based diet wastes all of them. So if we were all to go vegan, we would all be able to share water, oil, energy, land. It's a wonderful program you have, Philip Crawford, and it's eatingforpeace.org. eatingforpeace.org. Oh, thank you so much for the program, and people can check out the website and get involved with it. Encourage your friends to give up meat for 21 days and raise money for the children ravaged by war. Thank you so much, Philip Crawford, for being on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Thank you for listening today. Next week, Morgan Spurlock. He's the producer and star of the movie Supersize Me. He ate McDonald's for 30 days. That's all he ate. And he lived to tell about it, surprisingly. Okay, thanks for listening. Go to the website, goveganradio.com. And thank you for not eating or wearing animals.